Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Mike Jones is a columnist for USA Today, covers the league. Of course, for many years, the Washington Post's beat reporter for the Washington football team. He joins us right now. Follow Mike on Twitter, at @ByMikeJones. You've been covering this league for a long time. Have you ever been a part of a weekend like the one that just concluded?
No, Kevin, I feel like, and I was telling somebody, I feel like that was probably the best divisional round that I've ever seen. And normally, that it always feels like this is the best weekend. You've got, you know, four teams on each side, and it's coming down to the wire. But this one here was pretty epic. Every single one of those games, really hotly contested. We had some surprise finishes, dramatic finishes. It was great.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I've said this or not. I know I talked about it a little bit on the podcast. The only day that I remember coming in here on a Monday and saying, oh my God, that was the greatest day of playoff football ever, were the two championship games back after the 2018 season. You know, the controversial Rams-Saints game that went to overtime and the Rams won, and the Patriots winning that first AFC title game for the Chiefs at Arrowhead, 37-31. Ironically, following that season, the Chiefs proposed different overtime rules, you know, after they didn't get a chance to touch the ball the extra session. We just spent the last hour talking about the overtime rules. What do you think about it personally, and do you think there will be a change in the offseason?
For me, I feel like, look, it's a complete game. Play defense and get a stop. Everybody and my sons are really into football, and they've been arguing me like about this the last, 2 days now. And they're like, college is so much better, you know. And, yeah, like a 77 shootout would be great. But still, like, go play some defense. And it doesn't happen a whole lot, but we have seen it happen. And I just think that if you make it so everybody gets a chance to touch the ball, then what's the incentive to have a sense of urgency in the fourth quarter? Because basically you just know you're going to another quarter. And you see them playing, for overtime, and then, hey, okay, we're going to get a chance still. I think that if the high stakes, the intensity level, I like this way. Now, obviously, I wasn't, rooting for either team. I was just rooting for a great outcome, so it doesn't hurt me. But seriously, play some defense. Get a stop. Force them, hold them to a field goal, and then give your offense a chance.
Yeah, I mean, that is the answer for anybody that doesn't want to see a change. Get a stop. But I, kind of felt that way. And then, by the way, I also have boys who love the sport, and one in particular yesterday saying that, during the game on Sunday, this is ridiculous. You got to change it. I hate the college rule, Mike. I think it's gimmicky, and I don't think the NFL will ever go the gimmicky route. But I think upon further review and looking at the data from playoff overtimes with this rule, 10 of the 11 playoff games, or 11 out of 12 now. I mean, it was 10 of 11 coming in. 11 out of 12 have gone to the team that's won the coin toss, 7 of them on the first possession. So I'd like to see him just play an extra 15-minute overtime period and just play it. play real football for another 15 minutes, and whatever happens at the end of 15 is what it is, and if it's still tied, we keep going. And safety is always the issue, I understand that, but we're talking about, you know, an average of one game per postseason per year.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a whole lot. And yes, we could keep going on and on and on. You know, you end in a tie, then okay, you just keep on with it. Keep on with another quarter. You keep on. Is it 5 minutes? Is it 10 minutes? I don't know. And like you said, it is pretty rare that it happens. So for me, I'm just like, you know what? Just keep it the way it is. But you got to buckle down. Now, I don't like the way that, you know, and it didn't come down this one, but it is pretty easy to throw it up there, get a pass interference call, set yourself up, you know, and score. But you know, that makes it a little ticky tack. But again, if you want the greatest intensity, you keep it the way that it is.
Is Sean McDermott taking any kind of a beating in Buffalo? Do you know, for the late game strategy of you know, essentially giving the Chiefs multiple plays with 13 seconds instead of some sort of squib kick? And by the way, the defensive strategy on those two plays, what's been the fallout in Buffalo?
As far as the pulse up in Buffalo, they got a pretty supportive fan base. I know, yes, there's some questions and things like that, but I don't think too much. Yeah, you know, you kind of like, I was surprised that they kicked that thing out of the back of the end zone. I was surprised they didn't squib kick it. Cause look, then you take at least 4 seconds off, you know,
yeah.
You know, and as you would seen in those last 2 minutes, it was like a video game, but they were going back and forth. So I don't understand that there. Obviously defensively, you know, you're trying to, you know, guard against the deep pass, and, you know, but you've got really talented guys there that win one-on-one matchups, and one of the greatest quarterbacks. And so, you know, it's really difficult. And obviously there's always going to be second guessing, but I do think that the first thing he could have done to help himself was to squib kick that thing, because, you know, 7 seconds to get all the way down there is way harder than 13.
No doubt. We're talking to Mike Jones from USA Today. So, you know, I think we would all say that the last game of the weekend is one of the greatest NFL playoff games, certainly one of the greatest NFL finishes we've ever seen. And the performances by the two quarterbacks were epic. Outside of Mahomes and Allen, who was the most impressive player of the weekend to you?
It was Matt Stafford for me, because when you think about it, of all of these players, nobody has more pressure on them than Matthew Stafford. I mean, they basically said, you are the guy that's going to win us a Super Bowl. We have a guy that we've gotten to a Super Bowl with before, but he's not good enough, and you are the missing piece. And look, he had times this season where, you know, especially down the stretch of the regular season, throwing interceptions, turning the ball over, did not look like that difference maker. The week before, he gets his first playoff win, and then, you know, the Bucks score, and you want to talk about leaving too much time, but, you know, should Leonard Fournette – I was like, should Leonard Fournette have actually scored right there?
Yeah, he needed to score.
It one more?
He needed to score.
You don't know. Exactly. You don't know if you actually are going to get in. You have to score and then, you know, again, play defense. But Matthew Stafford, huge, huge, you know, moment there for him, getting that monkey off of his back last week and then building on it this week. He was the one that was the most impressive to me.
It's funny because that was another conversation that came up with one of my sons actually in the moment. I'm like, look, if you've got a chance for a walk-off field goal to win a game, or, you know, you're in a tie game, you're down 7, you got to score the touchdown, because there's no guarantee you're going to get it first and goal from the 3 or first and goal from the 4. There could be a penalty on the next play. And look, the Rams defensively were really dominating the line of scrimmage for a big portion of that game. So I, you said something that was interesting. You said there was no more pressure than there was on Matt Stafford. And before the first weekend of the playoffs, Brendan and I both said the player with the most pressure on him is Matt Stafford. The team with the most pressure are the Cowboys in the first weekend. And Stafford got that first playoff win. And then I felt going into this weekend that the team and the player specifically with the most pressure was Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't win. I just felt like he's got to get this team to the Super Bowl. Here they are. They're the one seed again. They're playing, by the way, a team, not the Buccaneers like last year. You know,
right.
most of his losses, by the way, in the postseason have been in games in which his team was the underdog, with the exception
right.
of when they were 8-point favorites over the Giants the year after they won the Super Bowl. You know, most of the losses have been legitimate losses to better teams, but not on Saturday night, at least perception-wise. I thought the pressure of the weekend really rested more on Rodgers than anybody else. So what do you think happens in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers?
You know, I hear what you're saying. I don't think that they had – I think he felt pretty confident they were going to get that win there. Now, I was a little bit worried for them, too. I felt like they got outplayed and outcoached. Now, their defense was great offensively. Kyle Shanahan handed Matt LaFleur his lunch, I felt like. You know, they didn't adjust. They didn't make the adjustments, and so it was difficult. I think that this leaves a bad taste in the mouth of Aaron Rodgers, and I think that he looks at this and says, yep, this is what I was saying last year. This is why I didn't know if I wanted to come back here. You know, he had nobody he could trust except for Davante Adams. And they're, you know, obviously he's got the ball in his hands. You know, that shot to Davante Adams with 4 minutes left, they really could have chipped their way down the field and moved him. You know, who do you want with the ball in your hands with 4 minutes left? You can methodically move your way down. And they didn't. And I know that, you know, last year there was play calling at the goal line where Aaron Rodgers didn't have the opportunity to try to win that game. So I think he goes elsewhere. I think that he looks at himself and he sees himself on par with Tom Brady, and he's like, look, he went somewhere else and won a Super Bowl. Let me go show that I can do the same type of thing. Obviously, if you're the Packers, you're supposed to be $40 million over the salary cap. You've got, you know, questions and decisions to make. Rodgers said he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. Now, if he wants to be in Green Bay, he could go sit down with them and figure out a way to make it work. But I think for him, he's probably like, yep, I gave it my best, and now I'm going somewhere else.
Interesting. So where's the somewhere else?
Well, that's the question. And I was asking around with a lot of people, you know, the last couple of days, which team, like who is the Tampa Bay for him? And a couple of people said the Steelers, where we know he and Mike Tomlin really like each other. You know, they've got a great defense. They've got some good pieces on offense. Maybe a couple little tweaks they need along their offensive line. The Indianapolis Colts is another team that was mentioned as a team that good pieces all around. And, you know, obviously Carson Wentz was not the answer there, but do they really want to make another investment into the quarterback position after giving up a first and a third for Wentz, or do they be patient? Another one told was the Raiders. Now, we don't know who their coach is going to be, who their general manager is going to be, and Aaron Rodgers is going to sit back and wait and see how this stuff shakes out. But those were three teams that were mentioned to me as possible destinations where he would have an opportunity to go in there and really turn them into contenders because they're close.
We're talking to Mike Jones. His story, by the way, in yesterday's USA Today, what's next for Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, why legacy questions might be the guide to quarterbacks' decisions. By the way, I am right on this, right? Because you just said it. But Aaron Rodgers has been public in his admiration for Mike Tomlin before, hasn't he?
Right. Yeah, I mean, and remember the game earlier this year where they were, like, making googly eyes at each other?
Right, yeah.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of mutual respect there between those two guys, for sure.
Okay, so let's move to Brady. What happens with Brady?
Now, if the Bucs are smart, they show up on his doorstep, and they're like, look, man, like, let's run this thing back one more time. We had injuries. Next year, everybody's going to be healthier. We got everybody back. Like, we were so close. Let's do this thing one more time. But if you're Brady, it's a matter of desire. You know, does he really feel like putting himself through this again? We've seen him this year really branch out. He had his Man in the Arena series. We see him, you know, expanding with the clothing line. He's got his podcast. You know, it very well could be that he's like, you know what? I've really done everything I need to do. I went to Tampa, won a Super Bowl. You know, we were very close, and it wasn't my fault that we lost. I'm happy now. I can, you know, retire and go spend time with my family. I wouldn't be surprised if he retires. But, again, you never bet against Tom Brady, and so he's not quite normal. If the Bucs make him a good pitch and he runs us back for one more year, I wouldn't be surprised at that either.
What does the wife want? Do we have any idea what Giselle wants?
Well, we know he said on his podcast yesterday that she really hates seeing him get hit, and it's, like, it's painful to her, and You know that after he won the Super Bowl last year, she said to him, what more do you have to prove? Like, she wants her husband back. But at the same time, I think she understands that, look, this stuff doesn't happen, you know, normally. It doesn't happen like he's, like, in rare territory. And once you're done, you're done. So what is one more year? You know, if he really badly wants to play, I'm sure he could talk her into that. But, again, you're right. And he said, it's about relationships. It's about figuring out what everybody else wants. I'm going to spend a lot of time with my wife, with my kids, and find out. And so we'll see how strong that pull of Giselle for him to stay home is.
Talking to Mike Jones from USA Today. All right, let's talk. Continue to talk about quarterbacks. Who do you think is realistically available for Washington? The draft is obviously an opportunity for them at 11. But in terms of the quarterbacks in the league right now, who is realistically available?
Okay. Marcus Mariota is going to be a free agent unless the Raiders try to keep him. Derek Carr could be out there in Las Vegas. We don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo. Say they somehow win a Super Bowl. Then do you keep him for one more year? Because, I mean, I very well could see them beating the Rams. I think the Rams can win this thing, but I wouldn't be surprised. Kyle Shanahan, you know, he knows Sean McVay very well. But Jimmy Garoppolo, we don't know. But that's another option right there. There's a number of that second-tier guys. Mitchell Trubisky's, you know, one of those guys that's going to be out there. So I don't see them getting a top-tier guy when you're talking about, like, a Rodgers or – you know, a Watson or you know, even a Russell Wilson.
But, yeah, I mean, those are the three. I mean, you finally got to them, but I thought you would start with them.
Nobody wants to come here. They don't have
that's
anything.
What I wanted to when ask.
You right, if you look at this roster versus Indianapolis, who are you picking? This roster versus Cleveland, who are you picking? This roster versus the Steelers, who are you picking? Washington, unfortunately, they just don't have enough. To entice a guy like a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers to come here. Deshaun Watson, even from what I was told. I mean, why would you leave one dysfunctional franchise to come to another one? So I don't think any of those guys. I think they're going to have to settle for a second tier guy, get a second tier guy, also draft a guy, which you should have done last year. But, and that's probably the route they're going to have to take.
What's going to happen with Watson? Do you have any insight as to what his current standing is and what his actual availability will be?
Nobody really knows. We know that this legal investigation is still ongoing. There haven't been any charges still filed. It's still just a civil thing. So it's expected that a trade will be worked out as they get closer to the draft. We know that they were asking for a ton before, and it was too rich a price for a lot of teams to commit, not knowing what's going to happen with his availability. The hope is that, by the time you get to March, is there going to be some more clarity there? But he will be traded somewhere. From what I gather, it doesn't even matter if they hired Eric Bieniemy or Brian Flores in Houston. He wants out of there. So he's going to be somewhere now. And again, you don't know how many games he's going to miss. It's going to be 8 games, 4 games. But those questions are still really hanging. And I check in with people really regularly, and nobody knows yet.
You know, on the second tier, because I'm going to ask you what your actual prediction is on who is on the roster here next year, quarterback.
Okay.
But the Garoppolo thing's very interesting. Like, I think there's context around it too, right? They could win Sunday without him playing great. You know, they won on Saturday night, obviously, without him playing great, although he made a couple of big throws on the final drive, and he had that 88-yard drive against the Rams to get him into the postseason with no timeouts and a minute to go, which was amazing.
Right.
He's actually done that a lot this year.
Yeah.
Garoppolo's had some big-time late-game clutch drives for the 49ers. But, more likely than not, Garoppolo may be available. I do you really see Derek Carr being available? Like, why would the Raiders, if Derek Carr is all that, why would the new staff, whomever that is, move on from him? Like, wouldn't that be a red flag if they did?
Does he want to be there, though? That's the question.
Well, he's under contract. You
know, right. He's under contract for one more year. But, I mean, it's not like we haven't seen guys say, hey, look, I really want out of here. You know, there's been so much change and up and downs and constant questioning as whether I'm the guy or not. We know that before the John Gruden firing, there were some talks, but Carr said he didn't want to. He wanted to table those talks and didn't want to talk extension anymore, and wanted to find out what was, you know, how things were going to play out during the season. So, you know, that would be the only thing. Yes, if I'm the Raiders, I want to keep him because who's, you know, what are your better options unless you can get an Aaron Rodgers? But if you're Derek Carr, you know, who do they hire as the head coach? Who's the GM? Do you feel good about the future there, or do you want a fresh start somewhere? Now, again, do you want to come to Washington? I don't know. But when we're talking about guys that are second-tier guys, he's probably the best of the second-tier guys that are out there. I'm not predicting that he will be here. But if Mariota's there, I mean, I think that that'd be a good thing for Washington. I think that he's a guy who can make plays. He can use his legs, got a good arm, you know, probably just needs a change of scenery, just like Ryan Tannehill did when he came and took his job in Tennessee.
So what's your prediction? Is it somebody like Mariota?
Yeah, I think it's somebody like Mariota, and I think they draft somebody.
Okay. Talking to Mike Jones, I wanted to just ask you quickly about the coaching stuff. First of all, do you think McCarthy keeps his job in Dallas or not?
I think he does. You know, I think that, I mean, look, we saw Jerry Jones be very patient with Jason Garrett. I think that McCarthy will get one more chance to see what they can do.
Do you think it's unusual, and I don't have any of the data in front of me to compare it, but here we are on January 25th, and none of the teams with openings yet have hired their new head coach. Seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's a much more patient and methodical process for all these teams than it usually is. True or not?
No, you're exactly right. But also, a lot of the top coordinators, top candidates for these jobs are coordinators here in the playoffs and everything. So, you know, some of these guys could be like, hey, look, I really don't want to interview right now until after this. And also, if you're these teams like the Jaguars, I'm kind of surprised they haven't filled theirs. But if you're trying to make the right hire, you're like, hey, let's see how these guys play out in the playoffs, these bodies of work, and then go from there.
All right, give me quick guesses. Who do the Giants hire?
Giants hire Brian Flores, I think.
I think that would be an outstanding hire.
Or Brian Daboll, who was there with the general manager in Buffalo. They have some ties. But I think Flores from New York, he would be a good fit right there.
Staying in the NFC, who do the Bears hire?
Bears hire Leslie Frazier, I believe. He actually played for them. A defensive guy, knows the, you know, won the Super Bowl with them in 85. I think he would be the guy.
Who do the Vikings hire?
Vikings would hire, I think Marvin Lewis would be a good fit there. He could build on what they're doing with that defense. He's a steady guy. You know, another guy possibly would be Raheem Morris. They have some interest in him as well.
Boy, the minute that when you just mentioned Marvin Lewis, Mike Zimmer worked for Marvin Lewis.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I was like, wait a minute, what? And somebody told me, look, man, he built that defense that Mike Zimmer ran, so he would actually be able to build it and make it even better. And he's, you know, more steady, better at building relationships and getting people to work together than Mike Zimmer was.
I think the whole Marvin Lewis thing for a couple of years is interesting. We're getting late here, but I love talking to you. Marvin Lewis, remember, before, you know, I think Marvin Lewis was the runner-up to Rivera if Rivera had said no here. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do believe that. I believe so.
Why hasn't he been hired? Everybody seems to love Marvin Lewis. And by the way, in a terrible organization, they just kept going to the playoffs, even though they didn't win.
Right. They didn't even have a full-time scouting department. He and his coaches are the ones who are doing talent evaluations for much of that. So when you look at what he had to work with, it was pretty impressive. Why he has still been out on the streets, no idea. We know that he interviewed in Dallas after they interviewed Mike McCarthy. But I think why, we don't know, but I think that the time is coming that he should be back.
You know what I think, too? I think some of the defensive coaches that are out there, Fangio, Zimmer, potentially Quinn. Now, Quinn wouldn't leave unless it's a head coaching job. There are a lot of guys defensively that are out there in this particular offseason that are considered to be like top tier of the last 15 to 20 years in terms of defensive coordinators and defensive minds. So I think it's going to be interesting on that front, too. Thank you for doing this, as always.
All right, man.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, good talking to you.
Mike Jones, everybody, USA Today. Read his column on Brady and Rodgers. It's excellent. At by Mike Jones on Twitter. There was a story written on CBSSports.com about Aaron Rodgers' destinations. Washington is on the list. Where did they rank? I'll tell you next, right after I tell you, by the way, about Loan Pronto. Home values are skyrocketing. That means right now is the best time to take some cash out of your home equity. Call Loan Pronto now. They can fast-track your home refi. They can get you a check for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 or more. And if you call now, Loan Pronto can even pay your closing costs. It's easy. You'll walk away with a big check. Get cash out now. Pay off your high-interest credit cards. Imagine being credit card debt-free for this new year. Consolidate other loans. Pay off all of your other expenses. Get your finances in great shape for 2022. Lots of people are getting cash out of their equity now, out of their home equity right now, to do things like fix up their home, get a new kitchen, get a new bath. Your home value is way up. You can get a new mortgage rate with an APR in the twos. You better act quickly on that one. Now's the time to access that equity while rates are really low. Loan Pronto's refis can close in 2 weeks. The process is so easy. Call Loan Pronto now. Put that equity in your home to work towards financial freedom. Do it now and skip your next two house payments altogether. Call Loan Pronto at 571-775-1810. That's 571-775-1810. 571-775-1810. They're an equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans apply. NMLS consumeraccess.org.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
So the NFL salary cap is going to be going up significantly in this past year after the COVID 2020 season. It was just $182 million. It's going to take a $26 to $27 million leap. From 2021 to 2022, there's going to be an estimated $208 million salary cap. I'm bringing this up because I think this is going to be a big part and a big role in what happens with all of the quarterback conversation. Mike Jones and I were just texting during the break, and he said, because I said, I forgot to ask you about Sean Payton. Is Sean Payton out in New Orleans? And he thinks that if he gets one of the quarterbacks like a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers, that he stays. But the Saints have the worst salary cap, projected salary cap situation right now heading into 2022. Washington has a top 10 favorable cap situation. Right now they're ninth, and that's before, by the way, getting rid of, I think that does actually count, no sheriff on the books. But right now, Washington, in terms of cap availability for the upcoming season, roughly $37 million in cap space. So a lot of this will play into, you know, the Rodgers, the Watson, the Wilson, and then, of course, compensation plays into it as well. So CBSSports.com wrote a story about the likely destinations for Aaron Rodgers after he was ousted on Saturday night by the 49ers, and they said there are 12 potential destinations. It's a lot. I don't think they're 12. And they ranked them 1 through 12. Number one was Denver. George Patton, the GM in Denver, came from Minnesota, was in the division with Rodgers. They've been struggling with the quarterback situation, obviously. Bridgewater didn't work. Locke doesn't look like the answer. Yet they've got all these weapons. I mean, Denver's got, you know, Cortland and Judy and... and the two backs in Gordon and Javonte Williams and the tight ends and Fant and Albert O. I mean, they're loaded with weapons offensively. And, you know, while their defense isn't necessarily what it was a couple of years ago when they got rid of Von Miller, that defense is still pretty good. That defense really hammered Kansas City in that season finale. I mean, Kansas City should have lost that game. They needed a fumble recovery by the Missouri kid, who I love, Bolton, for a touchdown to win that game. Denver's in a really good salary cap position for, you know, a big contract or a big contract extension potentially, as is Washington, you know, as well. But Denver's ranked as the number one option. Green Bay is the number two option, him returning to Green Bay. Miami is third. The Colts are fourth. The Titans are fifth. The Steelers are sixth. I kind of agree with Mike. I think that there is definitely an affinity that Aaron Rodgers has for Mike Tomlin. The Steelers are in a pretty good cap situation heading into next year. They obviously need a quarterback. That offensive line is a mess. Wouldn't have the same weapons he would have in Denver, you know, necessarily. But I think Pittsburgh seems like they'd be in the running. And then seventh on the list is Washington. And this is what is written by CBSSports.com's, who wrote this story? It was Cody Benjamin. Who knows what Rodgers thinks of its generally dysfunctional ownership? This isn't exactly a dream destination for elite players. Football-wise, though, the building blocks are there. A respected veteran coach in Ron Rivera, a high-ceiling defense, some young players, Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, etc., who would theoretically take off with a superior quarterback in a very winnable division. Washington's never been shy about taking swings for veteran quarterbacks, and Rivera has both the cash and lack of reliable passers to justify a big offer. The question is whether the Packers would even consider dealing him in the same conference. And of course, the first line of that, whether or not Rodgers would actually consider Washington as a destination. Let me just be really clear on this. I think I was yesterday. Brendan, I think you agree with me. Disagree if you might or if you may. If Aaron Rodgers was actually not opposed to being traded to Washington, then Washington has to go all in. Every single available resource in terms of trade compensation and contract restructuring, whatever it takes, you go do it. And for those of you that actually said after Saturday night, nah, don't want Rodgers, you need your heads examined. You need literally your heads examined. If Rodgers said, I am open to a place like Washington, Rivera and company, all right, Marty, Martin, I'd keep Dan away from it, okay? Maybe Tanya can be involved in the courtship, the recruitment. I am going after him with every single thing I have. I'm going after him with every single thing I have. For number one, more than anything, he gives you now a legitimate chance to be a competitive, contending football team. Number two is, from a business standpoint, it would be a home run for an organization that needs multiple grand slams to get back on to, you know, the right path from a business standpoint. And thirdly, if you want to sync this up with everything that's going to happen on 2/2/22, you know, and you want to get the biggest bang for that buck, which I think is going to hit a lot of people like a big thud, a big lead weight, I think 2/2/22 is not the beginning of something. I think it's the end of something for a lot of people. I think it's going to be a jarring realization. It's going to be a reality slap in the face that that team you rooted for your entire life is actually now officially gone. Don't underestimate the negative response to 2/2/22. Yes. From a demographic standpoint, for older people, probably more so than younger people. But if Aaron Rodgers is at all interested in Washington, you go all in on Aaron Rodgers. Brendan, do you agree with me or disagree?
I agree to an extent. depending on what the price is. Before the season, I would have said yes, but we've seen now year after year him fold in the playoffs. And if it's going to cost you four or five first round picks, or four or five picks in general, with multiple being first round picks, you're not close to a Super Bowl, even with Rodgers. You're close to a NFC championship game, but I don't think you're closer to the Bills or Chiefs with Rodgers to make that worth it. Now, if you can go out and maneuver and find things, find free agents outside of Rodgers and restructure his contract so it's not as prohibitive, yeah, I'm completely on board. But there are a lot of mitigating factors that would make this more of a discussion than I think you're making it sound like.
Well, I think that your initial comment is just completely off, that he has folded over and over again in the postseason.
It's completely true. I mean, he just threw a terrible pass on third down with two other receivers open.
This game, if you go through, which I did yesterday, actually, if you go through all 22 of his playoff games, or just go through the playoff games since they won the Super Bowl, they have lost games to better teams who were favored almost every single time, with the exception of when they were an 8-point favorite over the Giants in 2012 after their Super Bowl season. And last year against Tampa, when they were a slight favorite in the NFC Championship game against Tom Brady. And his play in a lot of these games has been outstanding. You know, they've been to many, many NFC Championship games. They've been underdogs, though, on the road in a lot of these NFC Championship games, with the exception, obviously, of last year when they had home field advantage after he was pretty good in the opener against the Rams. And he was pretty good against Seattle the year before and outstanding in the postseason in 2017. Even in the game that they lost, they just couldn't stop Atlanta in that NFC championship game. No, Brady's not folded. Rodgers hasn't folded in the postseason.
I mean, he literally
Saturday night was a bad spot, and the worst by far for him in terms of his losses in the postseason. There's really not a close second, because all the others were to better teams, favored teams, or in the case of Brady last year, a team that they were slightly favored over, and whose coach, by the way, took the ball out of his hands at the end of the game.
So the last 2 years, he's had home field advantage in the playoffs, right, and lost to an inferior team.
His team has, yes.
But he's he is the majority reason they lost the game.
On Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said he keeps folding year in and year out in the playoffs.
He didn't do enough the year before against Tampa.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was 33 of 48 for 346 yards, three touchdowns in the game, and his coach took the ball out of his hands at the end of that game. And they left Scotty Miller wide open at the end of the half for a touchdown.
Again,
egregious play.
You're making it sound like I'm opposed to him coming here. I'm not.
I know you're not.
I'm saying
I know
that
you're
there
not.
Are, but, it's more but of you, a discussion you're than you're cha- making
you've
it sound.
Changed. You said, and I think it's interesting, and by the way, I think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people, I think some people after Saturday night are reconsidering, which is what I think you're doing. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yes.
Because you would have been all in a year ago.
I was all in the summer, yeah.
Right. So you've reconsidered your position after Saturday night's game.
Because, yes, I have.
Yes, okay. I'm not saying that's unfair.
It's from a 10 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10.
Fair enough. All I'm saying is that your reason for reconsidering, which your first reason was, is that he continues to fold in the playoffs year after year.
I said he continues to do hero ball in the playoffs.
Well, no, they've just lost to better teams more times than not.
They've lost to an underdog
except
the
for Saturday.
Last 2 years.
You know what? They were. You're right. They were a 2.5-3-point favorite over Tampa in the NFC title game. And it was a great football game, and it was a disappointing loss, and his coach took the ball out of his hands at the end of the game in a game that they could have won. The year before, they got beat soundly by a team that was a solid favorite in San Francisco. The year, 3 years before that, you know, after the injury years where they didn't make the postseason, you had the loss to the Falcons after they won that brilliant game game with his comeback against the Cowboys. He had the Hail Mary against Arizona and then never touched the ball in overtime against Arizona. You can go on and on. They had the onside kick Seattle NFC Championship game loss. You know, he's played brilliantly and lost more times than not to teams that were either better or, in the case of the Seattle game or the Arizona game, in on plays where he never had a chance ultimately to touch the football in overtime. But I don't mind that people might reconsider, but to me, reconsider based on, okay, what are you going to actually give up? By the way, to me, it would be more or less if you're reconsidering. The right way to reconsider is to say, you know what, essentially, I'm projecting that this is it for him, that he's now going to regress at 39 years old next year, that he's going to be a 39-year-old quarterback for part of next year. I know he's 38 now, so I'm assuming he's 39 at some point during the season next year. And I'm just projecting that we're going to get the worst of Aaron Rodgers moving forward, so I'm against it for that reason. I don't see that, but that's not an unreasonable position to have.
See, I would disagree with that. I think if he's leaving the Packers, he's going on a burn the world type tour.
You could look at it that way too. I don't agree with what I just said. What I'm saying is, if your position is no on Aaron Rodgers because you're projecting that the worst is on the, that he's about to hit that, you know, wall at 39 years old, that's a better argument than they lost to the 49ers and I think completely differently about him now. But I don't agree with that. I think he's got 3 to 5 solid years left of high-level football, and I want it to be played here. And to your point, too, he's going to be out to prove something wherever he lands. With all this said, he ain't coming here.
Right. That's ultimately the biggest problem with this entire discussion is that he's never coming here.
But I'm all in. I would be so all in.
It's going to be just like the Matt Stafford discussion. They're going to offer a lot, and then he's going to go somewhere else, and we'll try to convince ourselves maybe if they offered more. But at the end of the day, he really didn't want to come here, and he's going to go on vacation with Mike Tomlin.
It's probably the perfect analogy in terms of why he's not going to come here, but the price offered would be a lot more than what they offered Detroit for Stafford. And the price is obviously, when I say I'd do anything, you know, I would almost do anything. And I'll tell you what, from an organizational standpoint, it really could be the ultimate jumpstart to a new day in this organization if you brought him in. And you've got some things here offensively. You've got the salary cap ability. You've got the number 11 overall in the first round. But it's not going to happen. But I'd be all in. I'm 10 out of 10, and it sounds like you're 9 out of 10. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What'd you learn from this past weekend, Brendan, of 4 divisional round games that were incredible?
That the quarterback position, as important as I already thought it was, is more important than that. And what you have to get right when you have a great quarterback is so much easier to figure out because you've got the quarterback in place. So if you get things wrong, you have way more leeway with a great quarterback.
But didn't you know that before this weekend?
I did, but it's really driven home by what happened on Sunday and with the Bengals. Like, you can have a really bad offensive line, but as long as you have a fantastic quarterback that is able to make plays for you, you can overcome that.
So I'm going to give you one that kind of goes with yours, which is something that I think I knew before this weekend, but I think it was really, really apparent this weekend, and that is that special teams really can, especially in games where everything is sort of hyper-manifested, hyper-scrutinized, hyper-important in all of these one-and-done format games, which is really the best way of any postseason is one-and-done. The dramatic nature of every play in a one-and-done format. But my God, the special teams play over the weekend. Evan McPherson. I mean, what a kicker. He's 8-for-8 in the 54-yarder with a minute 30 to go or a minute 40 to go in the first half, I thought was a massive play. The 52-yarder on the walk-off. How about the Rams-Bucks game? How about the fact that Matt Gay had a 47-yard field goal fall short? And then you had the kicker that kicked it out of bounds on multiple plays. Then, of course, in the San Francisco Green Bay game, a blocked field goal and a blocked punt. I mean, San Francisco beat the Packers on the road without scoring an offensive touchdown. And then you go to the greatest game maybe in our lifetime in the postseason, and the Tariq Hill punt return after the offsetting penalties, that was huge. Butker's 48-yard kick, by the way, after he missed an extra point and a field goal earlier in the game. So it's not like I didn't know special teams were important, but I think sometimes special teams gets sort of, it's not a third of the game because of the number of plays, which is true. But, man, there were impactful special teams plays over the weekend. And here's the other thing. My favorite performance of the weekend, excluding the two quarterback performances in the Kansas City Buffalo game, was Joe Burrow's. I talked about this yesterday. This guy was sacked 9 times. My second favorite performance was Jeffrey Simmons' performance for Tennessee. But he was sacked 9 times. He was under siege, and still he made every big play. But what it tells me, and I like Cincinnati to go in and to Kansas City and not be afraid and not be overwhelmed by the moment. You and I talked about we'd both be surprised if Cincinnati didn't show up and play well, even though, they had finally won a playoff game after 30 years or whatever. And they did. But, man, they have an issue with protection. And at Arrowhead, with the noise and with that pass rush, which has really come on, they better protect Burrow, or they better stay balanced with Mixon, which they didn't do necessarily against Tennessee, or it could be a really long day. Because I love Joe Burrow and I love Ja'Marr Chase, but they have got to figure out how to protect him, because 9 sacks and they won a game, it's really amazing. The most amazing number from the weekend, after everything that happened in the Kansas City Buffalo game, is that a quarterback got sacked 9 times in a game, and the team that had the 9 sacks didn't win. All right, that's it for the day. Enjoy the rest of the day. Back tomorrow. Travis is up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.